Dave M.
Hey everybody, my name is Dave, I'm an addict.
Hey Dave.
And it's great to be here. I'm grateful to be clean and be in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous. Share my experience, strength, and hope. A spiritual journey. Changing addictions. These are definitely great things to think about. I know for me, this whole process has been a journey. It's not about the destination. Think about when I was younger, adolescent days, the pain I suffered from feeling inadequate, from feeling like I didn't fit in, that I wasn't good enough, that I needed to do more things to try to fit in and get approval, get validation from other people. And I tried different things. I tried wearing the same clothes as other people or playing the same sports or whatever hobbies there were, listening to the same music. Ultimately, I found drugs. And that's what seemed to work. I got instant friends, you know, my druggy buddies. And we ran together. And I know for me, I experienced consequences right off the bat. You know, I got kicked out of high school. And that was very painful. I feel like I disappointed my parents. I wasn't able to hang out with my friends anymore. And I totally dove into schoolwork. Actually became an obsession. I got straight A's. I did whatever it took in order to get back into my old high school so I could get back with my friends, because I wanted everything to be perfect, right? I wanted to be with my friends in my high school and grow up together in the way I had imagined it. And when it came to dating, I pictured, you know, finding a girlfriend, finding the, you know, the perfect girl, you know, losing my virginity to the perfect girl. And it really didn't happen because I was just so nervous and so scared of women, so insecure, and I was so caught up in my using that I couldn't even talk to women, couldn't even get a date, couldn't get a girlfriend, and that brought a lot of pain. You know, I used every day, used with my dad. Basically, I became a drug dealer, and every day I'd come home from school, there'd be a line of cars down the street, and all my, you know, so-called friends would be there waiting for me. They'd come inside, and, you know, we'd start using, getting high together, and that's what we did. And by midnight, really, you know, I hadn't done my schoolwork, and I had to do my schoolwork in order to get the good grades so I could get away with what I was doing. I could appease my parents, right? So then I stopped sleeping. I fell into insomnia, and that sucked. I went 2 weeks without 1 hour of sleep. Every part of my body hurt. I barely graduated. Even though I graduated with good grades, I missed about half of all the classes, maybe a third, but it was some ridiculous amount of classes that I missed. As soon as I graduated, I went off to Amsterdam with all the money that I had from dealing, and I spent $3,500 in 10 days. And that picture of that vision that I had developed that I wanted for myself of, you know, losing my virginity, the perfect girl, ended up being a hooker in Amsterdam, you know, three hookers actually. Went from, you know, getting a Thai massage, happy ending, to a blowjob, to, you know, here I am getting hookers in Amsterdam. That's just the way it went. And so I came home, I was completely broke. And what did I have to do? I had to start all over again. Oh man, it's so much work to keep up an active addiction. Went off to college and things were a little bit different there. I couldn't really get away with what I was doing as much. I didn't have my parents supporting me as much. I didn't have my basement using pad. I had to go off campus to use, and then by the time I'd come back, my buzz had already worn off, so then I'd have to go back out again, and I couldn't get those good grades, and pretty much I ended up just totally getting kicked out. I mean, cops had come in and found my pot plants, and I took about 10 tabs of acid because I wanted to escape and didn't want to deal with it, and I wound up in hospital. From hospital, I went to jail. From jail, I went to detox. From detox to outpatient treatment, or to rehab to outpatient treatment, and then found my way in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I really could have just skipped all that and just gone straight to a meeting, right? If somebody had told me about it, maybe I would have tried it. So I went to a meeting. They told me, get a sponsor. And I got a sponsor, but I didn't want to do what he told me to do, which was read the book and start working steps. Wasn't willing to do that because I didn't understand addiction. I didn't understand that this is something that doesn't go away, that we can't just run away from it, that we have to face everything and recover. Right? Mm-hmm. And eventually I did go back out and used and wound up back in a hospital and wound up back in jail and more consequences. And that turned into being homeless. That turned into being psychotic, facing more charges and being completely desperate and hopeless and miserable. And, you know, all the things we experience, and mainly the feelings, right? Because maybe the consequences aren't exactly the same, or the drugs we use weren't exactly the same. It doesn't really matter. What matters is the feelings. And I was able to develop that gift of desperation, right? I was willing to do whatever it took to get clean, to stay clean, and to recover, find a new way to live. So I got the sponsor. I took the suggestions. I got a home group. I started working steps, and things got better. I celebrated a year clean, and I had a brand new car and place to live. I was fully self-supporting and all that, and life was good. I kept moving on with the steps, right? I had done a four-step, and I was feeling real good because I had started to learn about who I was. I had an identity. And that was new to me because I never knew who I was before. And, you know, I always identified myself as a pothead or the drug dealer or whatever, when really I was an insecure person on the inside. And the masks had to go. And peeling that layer of onion, I realized, you know, the core of this thing was self-centered fear. And my defects, I believe, are definitely part of my addiction. I experienced a sixth step while I was working in a job. I became resentful because my employer basically had people that were above me that weren't doing their job the way I thought they should be doing their job. And I was picking up the slack, and I was working my ass off, and I was passionate and this and that. I was in a grocery store. And, you know, they would have the expired, you know, fruits and vegetables, right? And I started taking some of that home because it was going to go to waste. Well, that led from that to taking fruits and vegetables whenever I wanted. And justifying it, rationalizing, and stuffing things in my backpack, and going home and putting them in a dehydrator, and bagging up the dried fruit and selling it. I had the scales, I had the Ziploc baggies, and the vacuum sealer, and everything, and I was slanging dried fruit. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. However, the pain crept up on me a little bit. Maybe I started feeling a little guilty deep inside about what I was doing. And one day they called me up, and the security guard was like, "Hey, we need to talk." And I was like, "Oh shit, I'm screwed." So right there and then, I just completely broke down. I cried like a little baby, and just totally admitted to everything, and it was painful. And right there and then, I felt my defects. I felt freedom, though, because I freed myself with that security guard. And he said, "You know, it's going to be okay. You know, you can make restitution." And I said, "Oh, okay." So he said, "I'll let you quit." So he let me quit, moved on with my life, and started a business. And when I got that tax return, I turned it right over to my former employer and made that amends. And I did that with the help of another recovering addict. And that's what we do here. We learn to make amends. We learn to change. We learn from our experiences and from our mistakes, and we move on, and we do the best we can. Changing addictions, I mean, for me, that seventh step really is a relief valve. Ultimately, I can't keep track or tally, you know, what has been relieved or what has been removed or this or that. I know there's a change, I can feel it, and my experiences tell me I'm having new experiences, right? However, I shouldn't think I'm perfect or I'm cured or I gotta remember my history, right, at least, and be grateful for this Just For Today program, that just for today, I'm not acting out on certain character defects, like I haven't stolen since that episode. I'm grateful. You know, I pay my taxes today, and I had an employer. I had one client pay me extra a few weeks ago, and I let him know and reimbursed him. And there's no way I would have done that sort of stuff before. You know, today I can be honest and live with integrity. So moving on to another six-step experience, I talked about the female piece. Women was totally scared, fearful. Well, when I got clean, I got a little more comfortable with women. You know, I started dating. Actually, I waited till I did a fourth and fifth step, and then they said I could go out and get laid, right? And that's what I did. I went out and got laid, and I caused wreckage, and then I gained some experience, and I learned about, like, what I wanted in a relationship, what I didn't want in a relationship. Really, I'm not really looking for a committed relationship at this point in my life. I just want to enjoy the presence of women, go out on some dates, have fun, and just live in the moment with it. And for me, it was difficult to express that to a woman, to be honest with the woman. And I felt like I had to, like, dominate or, like, get over on a woman in order to get laid or whatever. And it's just, you know, that's how my addiction manifested, and it caused a lot of pain. It led me to go out and get happy ending massages. It led me to get hookers. It was painful. It was very painful. So continuing on in the step process, I went over and did another round of steps and got into a seventh step again. And I'm grateful for the fact that my sponsors have continuously led me through the steps. I've had three sponsors. I'm on the fourth cycle of steps right now. And one thing I realize is, like, man, we are all people. Women are people, men are people. Before we're even addicts, we're people, right? Before we're even a man or a woman, we're a person. So I was able to gain some humility and just really start to just see that and see my place in the world. You know, like, I'm not too great, I'm not too bad, I'm just kind of right-sized. Like, I can be humble, I can be of service, I can just be myself, whatever that means, right? I can be okay with myself, I can be comfortable in my own skin. I don't have to try to pretend to be somebody I'm not. I don't have to get approval from other people. I don't have to seek a validation. This is my process. I have my own 11th step. I have my own understanding of a higher power. And it works for me. And that's great. And I'm grateful for the people in my life and grateful that they have a higher power too and that they have their process. And I respect that process. And I'm grateful that they respect mine. And there's only one requirement for, you know, and that's to be here in Narcotics Anonymous. Continuing on in the step process, I was able to develop much better relationships with everybody, myself, with my friends, with my family, with my higher power, most importantly, and with women. I got to develop good friendships with women. I got women in my life that trust me, that know me. I respect them, I love them, I tell them I love them, and they say the same to me. And they know there's no funny business. As far as women in recovery, I tend to keep my distance a little bit. I stick with the men. My home group's a men's meeting. I still love women in recovery. I don't always trust myself around them because I made mistakes early on in recovery, right? But, you know, it's a process, it's a journey. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful the amends I've been able to make and, you know, making an amends with my mother, especially. Having a better relationship with my mother has led me to have a better relationship with women. Very, very grateful for that. Very grateful for all the experiences I get to have. I get to travel the world. I get to enjoy my hobbies. I get to do things that are beyond my wildest dreams, things that I had never even fathomed, right? When I came in here to recovery, all I wanted was like a regular job that would pay the bills. I didn't really care what it was. I just wanted to not use and to be fully self-supporting. And that was it. That was the extent of it. I didn't have any dreams, ambitions of, you know, owning my own business or having really good relationships with people and being able to travel around the world and things like that. And today I get to experience that. And for me, that's part of my my higher power is doing. You know, I pray every day for my higher power's will, and I don't always understand it. Things don't make sense to me. You know, this life really is a journey. It's a spiritual journey, and for me, I believe I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And I don't mean to get all metaphysical on you guys, but for me, I really, really get deep into the 11th step. I've tried many different things, embraced all different types of spiritual practices, meditations, prayers, different things. And I found what works for me. I found what doesn't work for me. I share that process with people. I don't share it with everybody. It's very personal. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful that I'm alive. I'm grateful that I'm clean. And I'm about to celebrate 8 years. And just, you know, I love this life. I love the people in my life. And for me, that's really what it's about. You know, it's about helping that recovering addict, carrying that message, about extending that hand, and how can I be of service? It's so painful to think about how many times I was self-serving, how selfish I had been in the past. And to me, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to show up in gratitude and service and love, extend that hand and you know, look to that golden rule of doing to others how I'd want them to treat me. It's really, really important. I've been able to develop compassion for other people. I've been able to be more understanding and less judgmental because, you know, the disease likes to tell me that I'm different or that other people are different. And I like to look at the similarities. Yes, we do have differences. Yes, we do have our own process. Yes, we do have our own higher powers of our own understanding. I like to look to the unity. And for me, it really is about that fifth tradition. How can I carry the message? And I do that in many ways, not just in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm part of many other fellowships and many other communities, and I have a vast network. However, it's good to bring it home and develop good, strong relationships in my home group. It's really not about how many relationships I have. It's about like the quality, the intimate, you know, the connections I can make with people. Because for me, disease, active addiction had separated me. Like I couldn't make those connections. I wasn't able to communicate and share those deep, intimate feelings with other human beings to have these extensive conversations. So many beautiful conversations I've had in recovery, and so many beautiful things I've gotten to experience. I didn't think I could have fun without the use of drugs. I thought I needed to use in order to be the person I wanted to be, in order to be successful, in order to have fun. However, you know, for me, it's not only about the instant gratification. Sometimes I have to suffer the pain of withdrawal or to go through some things that are uncomfortable. Some things I have to experience pain of growing and maturing and learning and developing and getting through certain experiences through the help of you guys, and learning how to handle situations that used to baffle me. I mean, I experience new things every day, and many times I wake up and I'm like, how do I do this? I have no idea. Oh boy, here we go. It's a giant mountain. How do I climb this? I mean, I've experienced a lot in the last year. I mean, I've had a very difficult situation with my living situation that has also been beautiful, but it's involved learning And it's just involved life on life's terms. And that's what we teach here in Narcotics Anonymous, is how do we live life on life's terms? How do we live successfully without the use of drugs? How do we get through these situations and live with integrity and apply these spiritual principles in our life? And that's, for me, changing addiction. So with that, my name's Dave. I'm an addict, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.